This is Firepower. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We have amazing stories that we're going to cover tonight, tragic stories, including the fire that happened out in Maui last week. We're going to update you on the latest in that situation and kind of just talk through what we need to be doing to help these folks out there, praying for them. And also, President Donald Trump indicted for the fourth time. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. Unbelievable, the charges that are being waged against him. What can we do? How can we fight back? What do we need to do? What you need to know in just a few moments. Also, we're going to talk about this amazing song from a guy named Oliver Anthony that is once again topping the charts. Alternative music, as they come out from among them, they come out of the mainstream music industry and into the alternative ecosystem, which we like to talk about. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to ask you, can you please share tonight's show? Can you share the broadcast? We are being censored on the social media platforms, but with your help, last week we had the highest viewership that we've had. It's amazing. Mario's going to share just a few minutes here about all the things that God is doing here at Firepower. And so with that, I want to invite our friend Mario Morello. Mario, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, this is going to be our best show. I really believe it. I feel it. There's power in the studio. And you know, yes. The sons of Issachar had a weapon. It said they understood the times and what Israel should do. Two things: what's going on and what do we do? And that's what you're going to get. We're not just going to awaken you to urgency. We're going to guide you into solutions. And we believe that this will be a very positive and powerful program, but we aren't going to hide the truth. We're going to tell the truth. What other people aren't talking about, we're going to hit it right on the head. So as Todd just said, share it. Get ready right now to let all of the people you can know that Firepower is live on the air right now.
We are in fact live. And so let's go ahead and play this first clip where we're going to kind of go through what is being said about this new fourth indictment against President Donald Trump.
We've got this string of trial dates next year, four trials next year, right in the middle of a presidential campaign. Do you think voters will see this as fair?
The first trial out of the box could be January 2nd. Judge decides August 28th about that date. January 2nd is 13 days ahead of the Iowa caucuses. Then you have four cases, four trials within 5 months, all leading up to the RNC convention in Milwaukee in July. One of the trials starting, you know, possibly in July, as if the polls are right now, and it continues this way, the former president would accept the nomination in the middle of a trial. It's bizarre, it's surreal, and now the former president's facing 91 charges, and if you add up all the years together, and he was convicted of everything, it's hundreds of years.
If it's in the Georgia case, it's a state trial, and so if he's convicted, he cannot be pardoned by the state governor or by the president of the United States. If he's convicted, he has to suffer the consequences. That's pretty strange, isn't it?
That's right.
Where are we going with
and this? It's very strict in Georgia. This is a different kettle of fish here. This is something that, you know, there were some people that are saying his legal strategy was to get to the White House so he can pardon himself. It doesn't work here. There are some arguments about the supremacy clause if he's president. But if he's not president, there's really hard for any president to get involved. And Georgia politicians, you have to wait 5 years from your conviction to even petition for a pardon.
All right, Mario. So we got 13 charges, including solicitation of a violation of oath by a public officer, conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree. They're trying to do a RICO here, which is usually for like a drug dealer or some major criminal conspiracy. You got Mark Meadows implicated, Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, Kenneth Chesbrough, Jeff Clark, so many more. What do you think about all this?
Okay, those names that you just named, Todd, are all incredibly smart people.
That's right.
I would never pick a fight with these people. This is like ridiculous. And you notice something about Fox News. Everybody listen very carefully. Neither one of them spoke to the merits of the case. You know, you can when you're a public official, you have the power to subpoena, you have the power to indict. And when you have people that don't like Trump, you're going to get pretty much the wheels rolling. What doesn't happen is a evaluation of the merits of the case. And this thing is full of hot air. And Trump knows it. You can look at him and you can see it. They have just picked the fight of the century. You know, I'm familiar with some of these people that have been indicted. I mean, it's an A-team. And it's like, let's go out, you know, in a clown car. That's what Georgia looks like right now, a clown car. And let's go out beeping with 13 clowns in our car and pick a fight with people that have been in this for decades, who understand every single nuance of their rights and their privileges. And what they failed to mention is that the same way that states have, he can't pardon himself because it's in a state, they also have a vulnerability because it is state government. The federal beef is always going to be stronger. So what we've got here is a canard. It's something that I don't think we look at it without seriousness, but we certainly shouldn't see it and let the mirage, the camouflage, the smoke and the mirrors influence our understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, they used to call it the October surprise. Is this kind of now the way the Democrats do it? Is this, the, you know, a year out, go after a political opponent in the form of a witch hunt where they're coming up with these charges? What's so amazing to me is that every one of these things could be said about Joe Biden and his son. And, you know, so it's so interesting that every time, you know, just coincidence, I don't think so. Every time that they start getting deeper into looking into Joe Biden's son, all of a sudden there's a new indictment. You notice how that is? And they have it all rolled out so that it's going to go right into the election cycle. How convenient, right? I mean, it's, now here's the thing, Mario, I want to get your take on this. Before the grand jury gave its ruling, its opinion, there was a fictitious document that they said that came out. I don't know if you heard this. And it's literally like the exact same document as what the grand jury came up with. How do they explain this? How can that be that came out prior? I mean, is this a banana republic or what are we looking at here?
Yeah, it is. And here's the part that everyone needs to remember. You know, I call it the pregnant pole vaulter, and meaning this is going to go over like a pregnant pole vaulter. But without accountability, which woke is so famous for not having accountability, we're not going to realize the error that's in this, the house of cards, the weakness of the case, the preponderance of holes that there are in everything they're saying until later on. So it could potentially backfire. Here's what no one's saying. Can you imagine, if you hate Trump, and there are people that hate Trump, right?
Oh, yeah.
You hate Trump, and he's on trial during the Republican National Convention, right? So here's how it turns what the Greeks call deus ex machina, meaning that in the tragic Greek plays, there was a moment when the character couldn't be saved. That they had written him into a corner, death is certain destruction. And one of the Greek gods would come down in a basket, put him in it, and take him out. And that's what could happen. All of a sudden, at the same time that the crowds are cheering Trump at the Republican National Convention, the news is saying, innocent on all counts, found not guilty, exonerated. And can you imagine facing a Donald Trump who has just walked out of a gang fight and has said, look, what they said in Georgia, nothing to it. What they said in Washington, D.C., nothing to it. Bam, bam, bam. And this whole thing could backfire. And I know that there are older liberal Democrats who are right now huddling with these youngsters and saying, what you're doing is really, really crazy. Biden is too senile to understand how crazy it is. And those that are old enough to remember a logical Democratic Party are not they don't have the influence, but they know that this is not going to work. They know it.
And right. Well, you got guys like Alan Dershowitz, right? I mean, hasn't he been? I mean, this is a guy that teaches law, and I believe he's a liberal for the most part, at least, you know, a more Kennedy-esque liberal. But he's been one of these people that's been out there saying that. And there are many others as well, because I mean, just the optics of it, Mario, is so bad. They're going after the head of the Republican Party, the head of the opposition party. That's what they do in communist countries. It's always been that way. And now we're seeing this here in America. It's just unbelievable what's happening. So the folks are pushing back, and I believe it's causing a groundswell. President Trump has been seeing a tremendous amount of donations coming in, you know, campaign financing. It's just amazing. Every time a new indictment comes in, he sees a big up, you know, in his. And so it's really quite remarkable. We've never seen anything like this. I think Newt Gingrich was out there saying that this is the constitutional crisis of our generation. He says he sees a complete, utter failure of the way that our government is being run right now, the Justice Department.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Okay. I remember when Evander Holyfield fought Mike Tyson. Remember the famous fight where he bit his ear. There was a moment where Mike Tyson lost that fight by throwing a punch, not by taking a punch, but by throwing a punch. I'm watching it, you know, and boxing is barbaric. It's evil. It should be banned. But until it is, I'm going to watch it. And so here is Mike Tyson fighting Evander Holyfield. All of a sudden, I'm watching. I'm for Evander, obviously. His hands drop. And I'm going, against Iron Mike, you're going to drop your hands. Well, Iron Mike hit him with a straight right. Every single time that he's ever hit anybody with a straight right, they've gone lights out. But Evander didn't. He shaked his head. So here's the two things that happened. Number one, Evander said to himself, he has just hit me with his best punch and I'm still standing. Mm. And Mike Tyson said in himself, I just hit him with my best punch and he's still standing. Toward this time, there are two things that the enemies of Donald Trump are hating. They despise it. Number one, the needle of his popularity has not moved at all. So do you, Todd, know anyone? Do I know anyone who favors Trump at this time that has said, oh, I can't vote for him. He's got four indictments on him. That person doesn't exist. You might as well try to find lips on a chicken. So what they're doing is they're creating an impossible. Here's the way Shakespeare described it. He said, we have waded in so deep that it is just as tedious to go across as it is to come back out. That's where they are. They have to go through with this charade. And they're going to hit Trump with their best shot. He'll still be standing. Yes. But we need to pray for him, because I really believe there is an attack where Christians are no longer praying for Donald Trump. And you see it, because I see that some of the wall of protection has loosened. But we need to pray for him.
Yeah, I want to dive into that a little bit more. You know, I think about Haman and just being hung on his own gallows. And I can't help but think that if there's a praying church that stands and does what we need to do in this time, fast, prays, you know, declares decrees, get in our prayer closet, really does the work of pulling down the strongholds in this nation. Many of the things that we've been talking about on previous shows, Mario, and at Crusades, and, you know, all the different things that we talk at. If we do this, if we actually do what the church is meant to do, we can see this thing turn around. But you have some concerns that we were talking about certain people that may be speaking into the life of Donald Trump. If Donald Trump were listening right now, what would you say to him?
I'd tell him to get away from the false prophets. Get away, like dump them like nuclear waste. You see, we had a false prophetess speaking into Doug Mastriano's life, and it cost him an election. And you see in the Bible, in the battle against Rephidim, God used Moses to hold the rod of God over the battle. And when his arms began to fall, the Amalekites began to win and Joshua began to lose. But as long as his arms were held up, then the battle turned toward the Israelites. What we're watching right now is false prophets who are running around saying, God's got this. Trump's about to be reinstated by the military. There's no need to worry. It's all in the bag. It's not in the bag. We are locked, as Newt Gingrich said, in a constitutional battle for the soul of this nation. We got to put our foot on the gas. Every Christian has got to seek God and realize this is not a game. We're not supposed to. What the false prophets are getting us to do is to spike the ball at the 1 yard line and not cross the goal line. Not only will we not get the score, the other team takes possession. And that's exactly what we're facing. And that's why we can't listen to these false prophets. And we've got to listen to the word of God and understand that Donald Trump needs our prayers and he needs us to stand against the tyranny that's going on right now. That's what we got to do.
That's so good. You know, our side, we stand for truth, right? We always talk about it. The truth community, who knows the truth is set free, right? The Bible says, here's the deal. Why is it that we care about all the other things, for instance, the fake news media and exposing, you know, things in Hollywood, expose all the things that we talk about on our side. Why is it that when it comes to prophecy, though, we don't hold to the same standard? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if somebody says something that's untrue in a political arena, they're ostracized. That, you know, we out it, we expose it, right? There's so many different shows now, podcasts, so many people in the truth community that are exposing these things. But for some reason, there's been a pass when somebody says like 80 times something wrong in the prophetic, it's okay. What do you think that is, Mario?
Okay, here's the important side of it. There is a double standard in the church. The same people that follow these false prophets will scream and yell that the election might have been won for Trump if the FBI had not hidden the news and the facts about the Hunter Biden laptop. In other words, they lied and they told us something that wasn't true, and the truth ought to prevail. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and look at Joe Biden and say, you're a liar and you hid the truth. And people, and the thing that they say is the FBI and the leftists continued to hide that story, even though they know it's a lie. The media continues to ignore the Hunter Biden laptop, even though they know it's a lie. What are you doing with a prophet that says that Charles was going to kill his mother, Elizabeth, or that Nancy Pelosi was going to die before the midterms? And it didn't happen. And you didn't say, well, you know what? I'm not going to follow that prophet anymore because I know they're lying. I know they don't have it. And this isn't once or twice, but like you said, 80 times. Mm. So the point is this. When you see someone get it wrong, they make a prediction and they get it wrong, then they don't repent. They don't. They said, look, ignore it. Throw it under the carpet. They don't even address it.
Right.
They don't, nobody, and then their followers, they don't say, well, why did you say that? Why, that didn't happen like you said it did. It's totally the opposite. And then they'll offer the lamest possible excuse, where a lot of the prophecies in the Bible did not happen as soon as they prophesied it. And it's still true. Let me give you an example of why that's crazy. Jesus said, I'm going to die, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Right. Well, what if he didn't rise up? Well, it might be coming later. It might be 500 years from now. No, he said 3 days, and in 3 days, he was alive. These prophets have given specific dates for when what they said God told them would happen. And on those dates, they didn't happen. And you're still following them. Now, here's what the Bible said. Is the dangerous part. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it said they'll get to the point where they no longer want to hear the truth, but will find voices, false prophets and teachers who will say what they want to hear. And it says they'll be given over to myths. Now, I want to tell a very quick story, because this is your fault. I wouldn't have done all this if it weren't for you. So. There was a young girl about 70 years ago, maybe 80 years ago, that had a way of faking that she could pick up a chair with a grown 250-pound man sitting in it. And so she did a show where they picked up, she could pick up with one hand this chair. Well, she was using sleight of hand and mirrors and stuff to do it. So it was fake. Well, so one guy said, well, I'm going to expose her because everybody needs to quit following this young girl that's lying, basically, that she has this power. So they exposed her. They proved that she was faking it. And you know what happened, Todd? The crowds still kept coming because they liked her and because they were enjoying the fantasy that a young girl had supernatural power. This is what it means. They will follow myths. Here's the part of it that's dangerous, is that it's literally, they know it's not true, but they're going with it anyway. Right. They know these things are not true, and they're going with it anyway.
You're raining on the parade. Yeah.
Right. So here's two things real quick. Number one, it's affecting Trump because the left is using the crazy prophets as the fodder to discredit Trump and say he's also crazy. Just like Doug Mastriano lost the election in Pennsylvania because he was connected to a prophetess. So these prophets are constantly calling themselves MAGA prophets. And if you want Trump to win, you're going to stop following them. If you want Trump to win, you're going to stop following them because the public is using them to discredit him. And it's turning the church away from prayer to pray for Donald Trump to be used of God. And that's the deal.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing a research this week on the prophets in the Bible, you know, and just really trying to get the biblical perspective on this. And one thing that's very notable is almost in every case, Mario, they called the people to repentance. When somebody says everything's going to be fine and you don't have to do anything, you know, all you got to do is sit back, you know, eat the popcorn, whatever the way that they present it, you know, God is so good. He's just going to save us. That's a problem. We have something that we have to do. According to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, it's an if my people moment. And God is looking at the people of God to say, what are you going to do? Are you going to stand? Are you going to fast? Are you going to pray? Are you going to pray for Donald Trump? Like you said, why pray for Donald Trump? Because the opposite is evil. Look what's happening out there in our world right now. When we see from not only in our country, but around the world, the wars and the rumors of wars and the things that our country is actively involved in this administration versus the Trump era. I mean, it's this very stark difference, which leads us right into our next story, Mario, because there is a fire out in Maui. And it just was so amazing to me, the stark difference from one president to another. I know for a fact, if Donald Trump was president right now, we would be seeing aid. We'd be seeing him out there. He'd be walking the disaster area. I saw a clip this week from, you know, President Biden. It literally was shocking. He said, no comment. And then they said, oh, we're going to send $700 checks or something like that. Very, very different reaction. And it's, of course, caused some backlash, and many people are talking about it. We have a video right now from Charlie Kirk. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
Why is Donald Trump popular? Obviously, he has some celebrity appeal, but he's built an entire political movement on a change of focus. What happens in America matters more than what happens overseas. He beautifully brands this as America First. And on full display this weekend, we have Joe Biden sitting on the beach. And I've even, you know, asked some of the resident normies in the world, what is the potential and possible explanation of Joe Biden sitting on the beach saying no comment? Not an exaggeration. Play cut 19. Joe Biden asked a question, no comment. Play cut 19.
President, any comments on the Biden death toll in Maui?
Will you come talk about the Hawaii response, Mr. President?
Doesn't care. Why would he care? He's never cared about Americans. Joe Biden is a craven traitor who cares about enriching himself and holding on to political power. He cares about Ukraine. He cares about neoliberalism. He cares about keeping the southern border wide open. He doesn't care about urban black crime of gangbangers killing each other and killing innocents. And it's on full display. He cares about 10% for the big guy. And as if it was planned, I'm not saying it was planned, but right on cue, they're blaming climate change.
Wow. Unbelievable. We're up to, I think, 100 people, Mario, that have died in this tragic fire. Unbelievable to hear that the president says no comment. What do you think about this?
You know, we did a tent crusade in Paradise, California, after that city was burned to the ground.
I remember that. Yep.
There were 24,000 buildings destroyed. 70 plus people died. And God said, do a tent crusade in the middle of this. There's no water. There's no grid. We had to bring in everything. It was our first tent. And one of the things that I looked at when I watched the crowd, we didn't know anyone was still in town, but the tent got full. And I looked out, and there were people sitting in that tent who had loved ones that were killed in that fire.
That's right.
And I had to preach to them. And my heart went out to them on such a level that I'll never forget the depth of emotion that was in that tent as God began to comfort and to heal and to help and to bring something there. And really, isn't this a moment where, what is firepower for? What is this show for if we're going to just awaken you to the disaster of Maui?
Right.
And it is a disaster. And we need to pray for those people, and we need to be aware of their need. That is essential. But it was like, I wish I could have been in the room with Charlie and Charlie Kirk and look him in the eye and say, Charlie, what do we do now? What do we do now? You have established the depravity of Biden, but what do we do now? Well, right. Here it is. Let this be the moment, Todd, where we who are watching and listening right now as a part of this show realize we have got to get rid of this man. That is job one. We have got to get rid of this man. And that's a positive message. And so we have reached a point of no return. There's no excuse. There's no neutrality. There's no place to hide from the responsibility of saving this country from such depraved leadership. And every church, every pastor, every leader that can hear the sound of my voice, our doctrinal differences don't matter a hill of beans right now. What matters is that we can meet at the foot of the cross and repent before God. You know, Daniel didn't sin to cause the enslavement of the Jews in Babylon again, but he repented on their behalf. And he said to God, we have sinned. And indeed, as a nation, we have sinned. We wouldn't have a leader like this if we hadn't sinned. And I'm not That's just right. talking about the ruling elite, but I do believe that this Maui should become the catalyst for a national reevaluation of our soul, that we have a man with what the legal profession would call depraved indifference. That's the key phrase, depraved right. indifference. What do you see in this, Todd?
I see a lot of things. You know, I was thinking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and how he was sounding the alarm in Nazi Germany. And I just feel like we're at such a critical moment. You know, a lot of people have been sitting back, and I know you see this too, Mario, and just waiting and waiting and waiting. It's called a normalcy bias. And where we think, you know, we go back to 30 years ago, you know, early 1990s or something, and you think about what the country was like back then. Much different period, much different era. And we're now in such a critical time. And
yes.
I believe that the reason why the church was targeted, if you think about it, during the pandemic, that the church was targeted because the church is who has authority. The devil knows it. The people in the deep state know it, whatever you want to call them. Everybody knows it. Do we know it, though, Mario? This is what I think God is trying to light a fire under us right now. Pastors, people of God, do we know that we have the power?
Say
do
it.
We know that we have the authority? Because
Keep
the issue
going.
is, Everybody keeps waiting for someone else. And that's what I think, you know, they're looking for a superhero. You look at all these Marvel movies, they're looking for some superhero. Is it Q? Is it this one? Is it a prophet? Somebody's going to come save us. I hate to tell you, it's us. It's us. We've got to stand up as the church, as the body of Christ. We got to get on our faces. We got to open up the churches for prayer meetings. Every church in America, imagine if we started opening up the doors for powerful spirit-led prayer meetings where we call down the pull down the strongholds in this country. That's what we got to do. We got to pull down the strongholds. We got to stand. We got to stop trying to make excuses like this isn't what we're dealing with. We are dealing with a light and dark battle that is, it's high time. It's like, it's either now or never. I mean, I don't know how much later. You know what I'm saying? So yes, there's good things happening. We're going to talk about them in just a few minutes. There's an undercurrent of revival. Praise God. But friends, I just think there's been a lot of people that are still acting like it's 1985 or something like that. It is not. We are in a very, very important moment. When you got Newt Gingrich, I've met Newt Gingrich. And Mario, I'll tell you, the guy is extremely intelligent. He's been around for a long time. He knows the way the government works. When you got somebody of his caliber saying we are in a constitutional crisis, he is exactly right in what he's saying. I mean, the people around the world, I talk to people in Israel, I talk to people all around the country, all around the world, and they're watching America right now, and they're like, I can't believe, you know, I was just talking to somebody from South Africa, and they're having their own issues down there, and they said, we can't believe what we're seeing happen in America right now. Where is the church? What are they doing? And so I think this is the question, and I don't mean to sound critical, but I think that we need to rise up in this time. What would you say about that, Mario?
Well, you see, what you're doing is there's two forms of motivation when you criticize someone. One is condemnation and the other is conviction. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to know the most eloquent speeches and you want to piece them together, take a recording of the NCAA college coaches that make millions of dollars talking to their team at halftime. And when they talk to their team at halftime, I mean, it's up there with the Gettysburg Address, what they come up with, these guys, Nick Saban, guys like that. What they'll do is they'll make you ashamed of your failure with a fire to do better. And so the key is the church in America has got to understand it. We've got to understand that what God is doing, if we're getting a swift kick, it's because the devil knows the firewall for preventing America's freedom. The devil wants to do something globally. The American military and the American freedom and the American system of government and the majority of the American people are a firewall from Satan's agenda affecting the whole world. He's got to bring us down. There's only one way he can do it. He's got to get rid of the church. He's got to get rid of the church because the church has that 2 Chronicles 7:14 factor. They can move the hand of God. They can cause God to work. So that's why there's nothing wrong with what you said. We have got to be provoked to action. We've got to be awakened in our hearts to understand that though there are a few of us and though we esteem ourselves to be a remnant, greater is he who is in us. And if God is at work with us, we are the automatic majority and we have the edge. But that takes what you just did. What you just did, Todd, we just got to, it's not condemnation, it's conviction. It's like, wake up, you've got it. You're losing for all the wrong reasons. You're excited over nothing. You got to get off the game and quit playing with trivia and get to what matters. And that's where the power is going to be released.
That's right. I think there's a lot of folks too that have been in a place of apathy and complacency, but not only just a lot of people have been hurt in the church, Mario. I'm going to tell you, I go around the country and I talk to people that they say this happened or that happened. And I will tell you, I've been around the church for a long time. Mario, I know you have, obviously. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've been hurt in church situations. So I relate to that. And I feel like I'm speaking to somebody out there. You watch broadcasts like this, but you haven't really gone to a physical church in a while because you have been hurt. And you are part of the body of Christ. And I feel like the Lord is just telling me right now to say, trust again. Trust again. And get out of the shell. And yes, they hurt you. Forgive them. They're human. They made a mistake that was never God's intention. Those words were not from the Lord. They were from the pit of hell. But God has a plan for you and he wants to use you. And listen, every one of us has a part to play. We all have a calling and something that God wants to use. He didn't make a mistake in bringing us into the world in this hour. So I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I just feel like, you know, when we see these things like the Maui fire, let's take it back to that. This is a tragedy. And I've been through the earthquake in 1990, I think it was 4, 1991 in California and Los Angeles. And I will tell you one thing that happens in this type of event, Mario, is people come together. And they start crossing, you know, whatever lines of division there are, whether it's ethnic or religious or whatnot, and people work together. We as a body of Christ, you said it earlier, and it was spot on. There's no denominations in heaven, you know, and it's either light or darkness. We're either on one side or the other. And so this is a time that we take it seriously. We take our faith seriously. And if we've been kind of, you know, away from the Lord, this is the time to get back right with God. Right. And Mario says this at his crusades and so many folks come forward. And I just believe tonight's broadcast, this is what the Lord is saying, is that God is speaking to you. If you've been hurt in the church or if you've been away from the Lord, it's time to get serious because the hour is late, but God is not done moving.
I absolutely agree with you on this point of getting physically back in church because of the refreshment that fellowship provides. There's something about when Christians are in a physical building. I'll tell you, I live for those nights that I'm under the tent. I realize I'm going to be the preacher. I'm going to pray for the sick. I get all that. But I can't tell you how thrilling it is when the saints with one accord raise their voices. And you realize that in the worship portion of the tent crusade, that the chains of addiction are being broken and diseases are already being healed. Not because of my preaching or my faith proclamations, but because of the worship of the saints of God. When it's true and real, it has a supernatural effect. And you can't get this anywhere else. And that's why you're right. They've got to get rid of that feeling that you're only getting virtual reality if your entire diet. And here we are, Mar, aren't you defeating your own purpose? You've got a show on social media and you're telling us to go to church. I'm telling you that social media cannot replace the in-person fellowship of the saints of God. And you need it desperately. You need it. You won't even know that you need it until you get there. Then it'll hit you. This is what I'm really missing.
Well, you're saying it. I just feel the Spirit of the Lord moving right now. Because, you know, the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. What did they try to do during the COVID era? They tried to get us to stop assembling. They tried to get us to stop worshiping. They tried to get us to stop assembling. It didn't go after any other, think about it, no other group. It was only Christians. How bizarre is that? I mean, that just shows us we serve the only God that's risen from the dead. You know, we serve the living God. There was no one worried about Buddha. There was no one worried about any other God out there, the little g gods. They were only worried about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You got to ask yourself why. Why? Because that's where the power is. That's where the authority is. It's in the name of Jesus. Yes. Well, Mario, there's one more story, and I want to cover this. Great thing. There's media outlets are labeling this viral country song about the working class. They're saying it's right wing. But there's this gentleman, his name is Oliver Anthony, and he's out there singing this song. We're going to play a little clip of it. And it has just gone viral, and now it's topping the charts. Kind of similar to what happened with Jason Aldean. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
Well, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men north or rich men, Lord knows. And it's it's taxed to no end. Cause the rich man knows the rich man.
Well, it's a okay, catchy tune. Yeah, wow. What do you got to say,
so,
Mario?
Let me start. There are people in Washington, D.C. that work there and make obscene salaries. And they're doing it with money that's been taken from people who are hardworking. They're taxed beyond reason. So the poor, who are represented in this song by Oliver Anthony, and the song is called Rich Men North of Richmond. It's a passionate cry from average people against the exploitation of the elites. And they're angry that this song went to the top. It's outselling Taylor Swift. Yeah, it is. So here's the interesting part. There's a guy named Tennessee Ernie Ford that wrote a right. song called 16 Tons. And the words of it mirror this. Only the difference is, wasn't the company store back in the day, the people that were running the coal mines ran the lives and actually not only controlled the people's lives during the job, but after. So they would buy their food at exorbitant prices from the same company that paid them to mine the coal. It was called the company store. And so you load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. It's the exact same lyric that you just heard from Oliver Anthony. And it was celebrated as a cry for justice and equality. This is how bankrupt the left is now. This used to be their mantra. This used to be their wheelhouse. The average worker and his family and making sure they've got a fair deal. Now, what's going on? It's hit the sweet spot of our times. It's the cry of the masses against what has been done to us. That's what you hear in his plaintive cry. And they say this is right-wing influencers that have done it. You guys that are on the left, what a horrendous excuse you have for that. You control the record companies. You control the radio stations.
Right.
You control everything. And you're saying that this was manipulated to the top by right-wing influencers. It was not. And what an embarrassing insult to the American people to say that. Because this song made it to the top for the scariest of all possible reasons, my dear limousine liberal leftist. This is the people rising up saying, I've had enough. This nation should reward hard work. That's why people came to this nation. And now you have gamed the system. You're enriching yourself at our expense and you're corrupt to the bone. This song made it to number one in spite of everything, not because of any influencer. And they used all the usual smears. You know, there's a rag out there called Rolling Stone magazine that ought to be disgusted with themselves. They're absolutely... You're the most morally bankrupt, hypocritical gang of wannabe journalists that I've ever seen, because I've known you since the Berkeley days. Mm. I've known you since the 70s. And I remember when Rolling Stone magazine literally did a thing called journalism. Now they are a hack group of lying people that push this narrative. Oh, the movie Sound of Freedom is evil. It's exaggerating. Child sex trade is not as bad as they say. Can you imagine? That's your argument? See, here is what happens when you lose self-awareness, ladies and gentlemen. When you lose self-awareness, you don't even know how you sound anymore. You have no feedback. You have no way of knowing how stupid, inane, impossible to believe, incredibly vile your words are. And that's what it is. This song is not going to go away. I'm going to tell you two things. Bud Light is not going to come back, and this song is not going to go away. Neither is, try that in a small town. Neither is the Jesus Revolution. Neither is the Sound of Freedom. And there seems to be one wave crashing into the leftist beach after another.
Yes.
And who knows what's going to be next after this song? I'm jealously believing that it's going to be a revival in Los Angeles.
Come on.
We're fixing to put up a tent in the Los Angeles County Fairgrounds, and we're mounting an attack and an invasion, and we're sharing with people on the streets. And I believe that the tide is turning. And I believe there's going to be a sudden moral and spiritual awakening. So this song, Rich Bend, North of Richmond, is the death knell of the elite ruling party and group that's in the Beltway. There's something no longer going to be the way it is. It's going to change forever.
That's right. It's like a modern day Boston Tea Party. You know, the folks are rising up and pushing back. And I think the momentum, the wind is at our back. You know, if you think about it, Mario, you could talk to anybody on the street. And I'm talking about somebody who's been a lifelong Democrat. If you don't get into like political parties and you just talk about issues, people are pretty much in agreement. See, this song encapsulates it. You know, it's people think, look, there's the man and then there's me. I got to work, you know, X amount of hours every week and I barely can make it. I'm being taxed like crazy. You know, there's this elite group of people that are trying to rain down what they want on me and influence what, you know, what I do with my life. They censor me. They surveil me. They impose their beliefs on me. This is what the folks feel. And this is far beyond just the right. This is the folks. This is the people. I go around the country and I talk to the folks. This is the folks. This is what they feel. And that's because it's actually happening. So the deal is the facts are on our side. The truth is on our side. And that is the issue that they have. And that's, of course, why they censor and do the things they do. But I just don't believe, Mario, in the end, as we rise up, as we awake, I believe that the Lord is going to respond to the prayers of the righteous. I think we've got to get our house in order.
Yes.
And I think judgment comes first in the house of the Lord. See, the Lord would not be doing what he does if he didn't. He has the mercy and the grace to allow us in the body of Christ to get it right. And the spotlight's on us. So it's not that he doesn't want to do some of the things that some people are promising, but the issue is, what do we have to do to get there? And that's where we got to go to the scripture and go to prayer and seek the face of the Lord. See, I'm still hopeful. I'm not hopeless. I believe that God is going to move and he's going to respond. And we're seeing, I mean, we were just out in Carolina, Mario, and both services that I were at, you know, at Alan Didio's church and at my friend Shannon Williams' church, they were packed. They were packed. The altars were packed. People were hungry. And I thought to myself, I said, everywhere we go, everywhere you go, it's always packed. There's always hungry people. So clearly, I mean, it's not us. It's the Spirit of God. It's what God is doing in this hour, because people are hungry. They want to hear the truth. They know that God is ready to move. Look what happened in Asbury and other places. He's ready. He's willing. The deal is, though, is that we can't cheat our way in. We can't expect somebody else to fight our battle. This is the opportune moment for us to realize we've got to roll up our sleeves and get to work. What do you think about that, Mario?
You know, what is really important is to understand these Americans that write this music, Rich Man North of Richmond. You have to understand their heart. They're being punished for obeying the rules. They're being punished for being law-abiding. They pay their taxes on time. They don't cheat. In a culture that rewards you if you're addicted, rewards you if you cheat, rewards you if you commit a crime. You're watching the laws that are being written. In California, every law works virtually against parents. Right now, they've got a law that's about to be passed that if your child decides that they are a different gender and you don't honor their choice, they can be removed from your house. Okay, so they want to take away your Second Amendment right. They want to take away your job if you don't go by the policy. Here is what Jesus said about the Pharisees that made them so evil. God set his laws in Israel, and you created a tradition and a set of rules that overrules this, so that the people who are loving God are in trouble with you because they're opposing your tradition, that literally you're loving God. The man who wrote this song, Oliver Anthony, is saying, I am an American following the Constitution, following the original dictates of what America is, and I'm being punished, persecuted, and held down and deprived of my rights because I'm being a true American. That is a, and let that get out. That is absolutely an explosive moment in America. If that, when that gets out and it's clear to millions that that is the case, it's going to flip. People are going to say, you can't come after my child. You can't come after my rights. And you can't punish me for telling the truth and for being an honest person. A law-abiding, tax-paying American should not be persecuted. And that's what this is. And it's going to prevail. And it's going to lend itself to a moral awakening, a reaffirmation of the ruling reign of Christ in American society. That's what's coming.
Yes. Yes. We need a fired up body of Christ. We need a body of Christ that is equipped, that is armed, that has the firepower. That's why we do this show. We want to equip you. We want to arm you. We collectively come together as the ecclesia, as the body of Christ, to stand with one another and to speak the truth, because it's the truth that sets the captive free. And so I'm telling you, I keep feeling this, Mara. There's folks on here. The fire is getting rekindled. The fire is, you're starting to get it. The anointing, it's the anointing that breaks. You know, the anointing doesn't just break the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke. And this is what we're dealing with. The bondage, whether it's been in Hollywood, the elites, you know, all three stories tonight had an element of the elites and an element of, you know, that even in Hawaii, I've been watching certain interviews, and a lot of the folks out there are concerned that this property is now going to get bought out by the elites, that they're going to come in and buy it out and put it, you know, all these different new projects in there. So it's a little different in each story, but it's still the same players and the same battle. And it's the same battle in the church, Mario, is that for so long, somebody else is going to fight. Somebody else is going to do it. All we need to do is sit back. All we need to do is be entertained. I believe God wants a fired up church. And in order to do that, we've got to walk in the anointing. We've got to walk in the unction of the Holy Spirit of living God. How do we do that? We get into the word. We have an active prayer life. We get fired up about our walk with Jesus Christ. And this is no longer time to sit back. I mean, it never was, but right now God is, looking at the body. The spotlight is on us in this opportune moment where the president of the United States, that we all know, I'm not going to get there because you know we're on the stream right now, but the deal is there's a righteous side and there's a side of the reprobate. There's a side of the demonic. We've got to stand for the righteous. We've got to pray for the righteous. We've got to understand the discernment, that there's still small voice that's speaking to us. There's a passion inside of many of you. Get up, do what you got to do. God has given you a message. God has given you an unction. God has given you an inkling to do something. And many people have been waiting. I believe, you know, obviously don't get ahead of the Lord, but I believe for many of you, the time is now. God is saying, go and do. And that's what we've seen over the last couple of years. The time is now. Yeah.
You know, what I want to do is tell you that if you look at what the low opinion that many leaders have of the American Christian, a lot of it is justified. But the idea is that they don't want to go to anything where there's sacrifice or service. If I'm not going to get blessed, if I'm not going to get a TED talk from a stand-up artist, I'm not going. Well, we have broken that myth at Mario Murillo Ministries by our volunteer army. People that come at their own expense to the cities where we do a tent crusade. We had 1,400 of them in the city of Colorado Springs. We had 500 in Bakersfield, 800 in Sacramento. We had over 1,000 whenever we've done events on the East Coast. Now, we're going to do one in LA, and I want you to volunteer. All you got to do is go to mariomurillo.org, and you'll see a place for you to click to come to LA. If you come to Los Angeles, I'm telling you, September 10th through the 13th, you're going to see miracles with your own eyes. You're going to see things that will haunt you for the rest of your life in a good way. And so I really want to, you know, if we're going to call people to action, I want you to be a volunteer in the crusade that we call Proof for LA. Proof for LA. And it's amazing what we're doing there. It's amazing. It really is.
LA needs it so much right now, Mario. You know, it's my hometown. I've been there for so long, 17 years pastor there. You know, now I'm no longer in LA, but I know the town so well. I love the people of LA. There is definitely a righteous remnant of people of God there, but there's so many people that need the Lord. And the city is in a very, very devastated state right now in so many different ways. There's been strikes in various segments of the culture. I mean, there's so much going on in California, but specifically LA. So this is very strategic of the Lord to bring the tent to LA at this time at the fairgrounds. And to your point, if you volunteer there, it's going to mark your life. It's not just going to be, you know, one night volunteer. I'm telling you, the memories and what God does. We hear the constant testimonies over and over again of what God did that no one would know about. You know, people write us and tell us, but you're going to be that person. So I just believe somebody on here, maybe somebody whose fire has been rekindled, possibly even tonight, go out there and volunteer. Yeah. This is a great step. And I think, you know, let your friends know about it. Bring as many people as you know. Get your neighborhood together and bring them on out.
Right.
Mario, I think we got a clip to show, don't we?
Yeah, I want to say something about it. I prayed and I asked the Lord to help me make a 1 minute TV commercial. It's a new one. You're going to be the first people that ever saw it publicly. And it will be in LA in the media market. And it is a challenge to Christian believers, but the outsider as well will see the value of it. And it's a 60 second spot and you go ahead and introduce it.
All right. So this is the latest spot. First here, you get to see this first on Firepower. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
What will it take to instill our Christian faith in the next generation? How can we protect our children and grandchildren from the cultural onslaught and prepare them for the future? The answer, a true demonstration of the power and presence of Christ. Hello, this is Mario Murillo. Tens of thousands have been transformed in our tent crusades across America. Now it comes to the Fairplex in Pomona, September 10th through the 13th. Sponsored by hundreds of local churches, it's called Proof for LA. 5,000 free seats in an air-conditioned tent, plus free parking. There is no substitute for the power and word of God. Bring someone you love. The Fairplex, Pomona, Sunday, September 10th. Through Wednesday, September 13th at 7 p.m. Go to proofforla.com. That's proof, the number 4LA.com. See you there.
All right.
There it is.
We've covered a lot tonight, Mario. You got to make it out there. It's proofforla.com is the website. And Mario, you want to say anything else about that?
Yeah, go to proofforla.com and you'll see the latest soul-winning weapon that we've created, a website for people in LA that are seeing billboards, by the way, on the freeway. And all the billboard says doesn't explain it. It just says proofforla.com. You go to the website and it's a witnessing tool and you ought to go check it out. All of you, as soon as the show is over, take a moment and look at what we're doing in Los Angeles. It'll be greatly encouraging to you.
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and summarize, you know, what I feel like the Lord was doing here tonight. Reinvigoration, rekindling the fire, setting us back on course. You know, there's a little chapter in my book, Come Out From Among Them, and it's about rethinking the church. And I talk about followers of the way. That's what they called Christians in the beginning, followers of the way. They're also referred to as disciples in Acts 6:1, believers in Acts 5:14, saints in Romans 1:7. They were a diverse group of people comprised of Jews and Gentiles, men and women, people from all walks of life. And the followers of the way were persecuted for their beliefs. But you know what? They formed the body of Christ that we now know today. It was those followers of the way, that initial group of saints that came together. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And I believe that as the hour is late, the denominational walls are coming down. There's no denominations in heaven. You're either a follower of Yeshua, you're either a follower of the way, or you're not. And this is the hour that the church, this is our greatest hour. And so even though there's these egregious things, these horrible things that we're watching happening in our nation, our world, The church is the light. We're the light. And something is about to happen. Do you feel it in your spirit? Something is about to happen. So we needed a course correct, but I'm hopeful, Mario. And I think this crusade in LA is going to be the all-time. I hope everybody can make it out there. You know, if you're in Vegas or any of the cities that are close enough to drive, San Diego, San Francisco, I would get down there. I would get down there and fly from all over the country. People are going to be coming from all over the country.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And I think you said it, and I can't add to it except to pray. Lord, I pray for everyone watching right now that you will heal their bodies, that you will transform their minds from depression and confusion to faith and power. Let them stand in your presence right now and shake off all discouragement, all confusion, all death. And for those that need you, awaken their heart right now to receive Christ as Lord, not just as a temporary fix, but to surrender and say, you are the Lord of my life. Save my soul. Transform me. Wash away my sin. I believe that you rose from the dead. And that's what I want to say. And I want to just thank you all for watching. And thank you, Todd. And you take us out, Brother Todd.
All right. Well, that was a powerful prayer. I'm in agreement. Thank you for watching Firepower Tonight. Again, share the video. Next week, we'll be back at the same time. So join us again, and we'll see you soon.